In a world where Mondays are taken over by a machine, welcome to Machine Mondays.
Hello, 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 Machiniacs and Shimodan fans, and welcome to another episode of Machine Mondays. I'm Janine the Machine, and first off, as usual, I gotta give a huge thank you to David B. for creating this awesome track for me, the official Machine theme. Thank you so much, David B., and if you want to check him out, you can find him at DavidBMusic21 on Twitter. Also gotta give a huge thank you to Kevin the Smasher Smets, our reigning Intergeekdom champion, for that awesome voice intro. I love it so much. And if you want to check out Kevin Smets or his awesome Star Wars KOTOR trilogy movie, you can find all of that at his Twitter at KevSmets. But let's get into today's episode. So not too much to talk about today, but we did, of course, have the big corrupted Intergeekdom finals match. In regards to the Ethan Roka match, while I won't talk about that too much just because I know it won't be released to everyone until Friday, I feel like it arose a couple of questions and thoughts. I did have some interesting conversations with some people. So, I might get into those things that kind of arose after that match premiered. I think that whole kind of issue about questions and difficulty level and the question writers and things like that, and who is kind of who, where does that responsibility lie when it comes to issues with questions and that whole kind of issue. So I think I'll talk a little bit about that just because I kind of had some interesting discussions with people about that. And also just the idea of, you know, we are deep into the season. After this, there's a teams tournament and then we're kind of almost getting to the end of the year. So how do we feel about, in this singles tournament in particular, how do we feel about people who have already gotten belt matches, like leading up to this tournament? How do we feel about them also automatically kind of getting a chance to be in the tournament over people who haven't gotten a chance to play yet? So I did have an interesting conversation about that as well. So we might touch on that just a little bit. So let's get into the episode. Let's get into this match. So we had Chance versus Mike. And you know, last week I was kind of talking about this, like, oh yeah, corrupted finals. Oh my gosh, it's gonna be so intense. Oh my gosh. And you know, in my head I thought, okay, you know, well, they know each other's strengths. They know each other's weaknesses. They could use that to their advantage. Oh my gosh, it's gonna be crazy. But you know, in kind of going into it, I was like, no, it's really not. Like, why did I think that? Like, they are faction mates, they are teammates, they're friends. They are not gonna go at each other crazy. They're not gonna pull some crazy, you know, challenges to, you know, do whatever they can to win. That is not happening here. Like, they're gonna be super chill. So just kind of after kind of seeing the match and their dynamic and everything, I was like, it was kind of really funny to just see how, like, I was building this matchup to be this kind of crazy intense thing, and then you know go into it and they're like, well, duh, they're not gonna be all at each other's throats or intense or have a huge rivalry or anything like that. It's gonna be super chill and fun and whatever. So just feel kind of silly, like, last week really kind of hyping this matchup in my head. Not to say that it was a bad match or a boring match, just that obviously it's not gonna be this cutthroat situation where they're kind of pulling all the stops to beat each other, because yeah, they're in the same faction, they're gonna be super chill with each other, and that's pretty much what happened. I think I only saw one instance where Mike kind of used what he knew about Chance to his advantage a little bit, but other than that, like, it was pretty civil, of course. So yeah, just kind of funny. I was like, oh yeah, corrupted, they're gonna be, oh, intense and crazy. And yeah, no, it was super chill. So, let's get into this match. So, no perfect rounds, no double dewberries going on here. 7-8, Chance leading going into round two. And I think maybe it's just, like, I got a little bit spoiled last season with all the perfect rounds that were happening, and particularly in Intergeekdom. So I'm kind of liking that the difficulty level has kind of gone up a little bit, and there is a bit of a challenge there. Because, yeah, I felt like there are moments where it does feel like a little bit too easy in round one. You know, we are people who put in time and effort to study and learn, and we're the ones who are chosen to do this for a reason. So I think we need to prove that. So when, you know, we're getting pretty fairly easy questions and, you know, everyone's getting a perfect round one, or close to that, you know, I feel like there's not a lot of challenge there. So I like that, you know, we are not going perfect. Of course, you love to see that. And I think it means more when you do, when the questions are a little bit more tricky. So I appreciate that. So yeah, like, not to say that, you know, when you don't get a perfect round now, you're not a good player. It's just kind of, we've gotten used to that, I think. So I like to see that the difficulty level has maybe gone up a little bit. So we're not getting perfect rounds. We're getting people who really have to work for this. So yeah, 7-8 after round one, Chance leading. He goes first. He gets DC. He gets the first correct on multiple choice, gets the second correct on multiple choice, and then sweeps the rest of the round. Mike gets MCU. He gets the first one correct. He misses the second, giving Chance a big 2-point steal. He misses the, or he gets the three correct on multiple choice. Then he gets his fourth and fifth correct. So then it's 14-18 Chance leading. So Mike down by four going into the betting round. Mike spins. He gets, he chooses Star Trek. And I think that was the one thing where he did use when he kind of knew about Chance to his advantage, because I think there was kind of a bit of a conversation that when he picked it, Chance was like, oh, I knew you were going to do this. And then even how Chance betted, like, he only bet one because he wanted to play it safe, because obviously Trek is not a strength for him. And Mike knew that. So Mike used that to his advantage since he was about 4 points down. So Mike ended up betting big. He bet three. Chance bet the one. So he pulled within two of Chance, making it 17-19 going into the speed round. And I think something I was super excited to see actually was a championship match, or, you know, like a 5-round match, speed round in Inner Geekdom. I know we got to see that a little bit in Star Wars, but I really was excited and curious to see it play out with Inner Geekdom, because I kind of wanted to get a sense of how it was going to be in the Chandru Kevin match. So I was really curious to see how, you know, how the questions were, if there were going to be a lot of kind of things you had to stop and think about. And we definitely did get a question like that with the Wolverine question. So I was just really curious to kind of see how that was going to play out with the speed round in Inner Geekdom. And yeah, it was really interesting. Because, you know, you saw that Chance did get tripped up on something, just the wording, and you're trying to think really fast, and he kind of took long pauses. So it's really something you're going to have to work at a little bit to get into that sense of answering questions, you know, quick fire like that. So yeah, definitely was probably the most intense part of the match. Just seeing them have to stop and think and pass, know when to pass and things like that, and or answer. And if you answer too quick, it could be the wrong thing. So yeah, that was probably definitely the part I was most excited to see and the most intense part of the whole match. So in the end, Chance ended up getting 23. He missed, four questions. He missed two, like he got two incorrect and then he passed on two. So that was four total points that he missed out on. Mike ended up getting 25, because he only missed one question. So Mike did better in the speed round, giving him the lead at that point. So going into round three, Chance gets his two, Mike gets his two, Chance gets his three, Mike gets his three, Chance gets his five, and then Mike misses his five, giving Chance the win. And I was actually kind of excited because that five was actually something I knew, because, you know, So that was something, you know, new I learned for my inner geekdom studying. So I was just excited just for me because I was like, oh my gosh, I know this. Oh my gosh, I actually know this. So yes, Chance ended up winning. So now he will potentially face Chandru or Kevin. So that's just kind of crazy. Like, he went from losing his first inner geekdom match to winning this whole tournament and now potentially going, you know, against Kevin or Chandru for the belt. So that's a crazy kind of journey for him. That's great for him. And points for corruption either way. So I think everyone was kind of just fine with whatever happened. So Mike is probably going to have to take a different route now to get back to the inner geekdom belt, which is interesting. So I know that was kind of something he had to work his way back up to after such a tough loss. So we'll see kind of what he does to kind of continue his road on back to the inner geekdom belt. So Chance wins the tournament. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, I think he's definitely, the way he played in this match, he's definitely going to have to up his game for people like Kevin and Chandru. These are guys who go perfect. They never miss anything. They are focused. They have crazy study habits. So, I mean, getting 8 in round 1 in inner geekdom against those two guys, having to go to multiple choice, those are going to be tricky things that are really going to cost you when you're playing a Smets or a Chandru, because they never really go to multiple choice. They are now at a point where they don't do that. They get perfects and bonus. Like, so any little thing. So the way Chance played today and like the 4 misses in the speed round, which I get is a new format. It's going to take some getting used to. But he has the advantage of having, you know, this will be like his second time going through that when he actually goes up against a Chandru or a Kevin. I think he'll have time. He'll have plenty more time to kind of navigate learning how to work within that format. And I think that'll help him out. So, curious to see how that goes. He's definitely going to have to put in the work because, yeah, how he played in this match, I don't think is at the level of those two guys because they are insane. We'll see if he can get there to really have a shot at the belt against either of those two guys for sure. But let's get into some other topics. So the Ethan Rocha match brought up some questions about, I think there were a lot of people kind of calling out things like questions being too easy or questions being too hard and one competitor getting easy ones and one competitor getting hard ones. I think most times those complaints are a little bit hollow and just complaining for complaining's sake. Just because, you know, difficulty of a question is very subjective, depending on how you grew up and what you grew up watching, what you know well, is not going to be what somebody else knows well. So it kind of depends on the person answering the questions, what is difficult and what is hard. I do think there are some exceptions. I do think there are moments where there are general questions that kind of everybody should know or does know. And at that point, I think you can call those easy questions or things that are just crazy out there and obscure that I think most people can be like, those are hard questions. But in general, I think a lot of times those complaints that kind of come at the question writers about difficulty level are a bit kind of silly and hollow and just for the sake of wanting to complain about something. I have had grievances about questions. I know I was not happy with my 5-pointer in my inner geek to match the question about Slipknot's real name, because that was not something that was in the movie. That was not something, had I had the time to go through DCEU like I really wanted to, I still would have gotten that question wrong because it was information that was not in the movie. It was information that was not available to me just from watching the movie. And I feel like that is kind of an unfair thing. I think it's kind of silly that questions can be thrown in there that you can't learn from just watching the movie. It's in, that information is in a source related to the movie. And apparently there are guidelines that that is a fair thing to do and a fair thing to ask if there is, you know, outside information related to the movie that has that information, that it's fair game. But I was not given that information before my match. So there are things like that that I think are fair grievances. I know, you know, in Craig's match, his crazy five-pointer about the movie that was the prequel, the midquel, and the sequel, you know, with its years and, you know, X-Men Days of Future Past totally apply to that question. So I feel like that was a bit of an unfair question just because the question should have one pure, obvious answer, that that one answer is the only answer it could be. But that question had multiple movies that could apply to it. But Craig did not challenge that. So at that point, the blame kind of comes off the question writers and is on Craig and the Finstock for not challenging it. So at that point, I don't think any kind of complaints can be raised on that point because, yeah, if he felt like his answer was still applied to that question, then he could have challenged that on that on those grounds. And I think he totally would have had a fair challenge there, but he didn't challenge it. So I think that's where that complaint kind of leaves the question writers and goes on to the competitor and the manager. So, yeah, I mean, things are going to come up. The question writers deserve a lot of respect. They put in so much work. They keep this whole thing running, and they're really impressive in what they do. And, you know, having to come up with all these questions, it's a lot of work. It is a lot of work. Like, I've wrote mock matches before, and just writing one mock match is very time-consuming, let alone having to write tons of matches, tons of questions, tons of categories, having to know so much about, you know, everything and all these different divisions. Like, it's a lot of work, and they deserve the respect. Because, yeah, they work really hard. And I know they don't want to hear complaints and people whining about things. Yes, do I think there are valid grievances that people can have about questions? Because sometimes there are mistakes in questions that can screw somebody up. And in the moment, it's hard to kind of think to challenge something when you don't know, or if it was worded weird or things like that. Those things happen. And at that point, I think it's fair and a valid complaint to bring to the table so that it's something they can look at and learn from. Because, yeah, mistakes happen. But little kind of dumb complaints, complaining about this person got easier questions than me, this person got harder questions than me, like, things like that, I think, are kind of silly to throw at them when they work so hard. So that was definitely something that I think came up a lot with the Ethan Rocha match. And then just also the fact that, you know, Rocha and Ethan, there was kind of stipulations whoever won, whoever lost or was still going to, one person was going to get a shot at the belt and the other one was going to just automatically get to be in the tournament, which is fine. But seeing as how now we have factions and all these people, and there are people who still haven't gotten a chance to play yet, how fair is that? How of a team aspect is that? Like, I am sitting out of the singles tournament because I have so many people in my faction who have not even gotten to play a match. I've gotten to play in three matches. So, I mean, just to be the, do the fair thing, to let your teammates get their kind of moment, to mix it up a little bit. I'm stepping back, you know, I want to be a good teammate and give them a shot. You know, Rocha got this match with Ethan. If he loses, he's still going to get to go in this tournament, and then someone from his faction wouldn't get a chance to play. If Ethan wins, loses this match, then Jen Kemp doesn't get to play. So it's just kind of this whole situation where, do you think that's fair? Do you think They should still get to be automatically be in the tournament when there are so many people who haven't gotten to play, because they're the star players and the people that people, you know, want to see. And, but I like seeing new people and fresh blood and that whole kind of thing. So, you know, it is a little bit, I think, disappointing that that happens, especially with like the Finstock exchange. Like, I want to see Gray Drake play, but is she going to get to play? Probably not, because she has too many stars on her team that they're going to kind of take all the shine. So, I don't know. Like, I just had a very interesting conversation with somebody about how fair that would be, or how fair that is, that, you know, these people are already in these matches in contention for belts. These are big matches for them. And even after that, they're still going to get more matches in a tournament over people who haven't even gotten to play yet. And at this point now, may not even get a chance to play. And especially with the teams tournament, I think it's only going to be one team per faction. So, I think that's kind of disheartening a little bit sad that, you know, not everyone's really going to get that opportunity, over kind of the marquee players. Just a very interesting conversation I had about, is that fair? How do we feel about that? I am a team player. I want everyone to get a chance to play. I want to see some new people, this season. And I think that was kind of the whole point of the draft. The whole point of the draft, I guess, is points. So that's what's important. And you want to get points with your big kind of marquee players. So those are who the people we're going to play. So, of course, smart tactics to get moves, to get points. And I guess maybe that's why Usual Suspects are last, because, you know, we think more on more levels than that, I guess. It is what it is at this point. I just thought it was an interesting chat about that. So lastly, let's just do a couple of kind comments, a segment that I do here and there on the show, just to highlight some nice things that people say about the Schmodown. So on the Chance mic match, we got a comment from Lance Sterlings giving Shannon some love. The affection Shannon shows for both of these guys at the end there is really nice to see. It doesn't stray too far and break character, but still feels completely genuine. Even if somehow the rest of the season doesn't work out in their favor, I do really think she's the best manager in the game, regardless of accolades or points. So yeah, I think that was definitely going to be something interesting to navigate in that match, was to kind of coach both of them at the same time. And she did an amazing job. Not only is she bringing like the heel game and the social media game, which I think is very underrated when the competitors and managers really kind of clap back and really put effort into promoing and all of that kind of stuff online on socials. So definitely love those comments about Shannon. More love for Shannon. Of course, she deserves it. Shannon is the best manager. It's not easy to coach both these guys for a big event, and she did it wonderfully. She's amazing. That is from Paloma Diz. So Shannon just getting a lot of love. And the last kind comment from our very own patron, Patrick Harden. Matches like these make me wish there was a wow button to go with the like button. Definitely, you know, like I talked about this match, I, you know, went into it expecting this intense thing and then seeing everyone kind of friendly and super chill. Like, duh, of course that was going to happen. But it was still a really great match to watch. The dynamic, of course, was really fun. There were some kind of intense moments with the speed round, very kind of on the edge of your seat, and even just kind of Mike gaining that lead after being behind, and all of kind of those back and forth things were made for a really great match, definitely. So lots of love for Shannon, lots of love for the match, well-deserved all around. I think that's gonna do it, guys. Till next week, we will be talking about the Roka Ethan match. Love my boy Ethan. So excited to get to see him play again. And then we're going to get into this singles tournament. I will not be in it, but I think for my patrons, I will be doing videos, kind of playing along, getting back to my roots, reacting and playing along to matches. It's going to be kind of weird filming myself doing that. It's been so long since I've done that. So definitely, I think I'm going to do something for the patrons where I play along throughout this tournament and see how I do, how I would have probably done. I don't know. It's going to be fun. So look out for that on the It's a Wonderful Podcast Patreon. We do have a Patreon, me and my wonderful co-host Morgan Robinson at It's a Wonderful One on patreon.com. We do some fun things over there, videos, you get custom artwork, monthly art from me, getting just to know me and Morgan. We do Sunday live streams with our patrons. So yeah, we do polls. You can help us, you know, pick topics for bonus content and things like that. So please check out the It's a Wonderful Podcast Patreon. Just search It's a Wonderful Podcast on patreon.com or just search or It's a Wonderful One on Patreon. So yeah, check it out. You can also check out the other awesome shows on the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed. Not only do we have Machine Mondays with me every Monday right here, we also have Morgan Hasn't Seen every Wednesday. You know, my co-host Morgan hasn't seen a lot of things. So I pick a related series of films or franchise of films he's missed. We watch and we discuss. However, August is my birthday month. So I've given the power to Morgan to pick movies that I haven't seen. So the whole month of August is going to be Janine Hasn't Seen month. So he's going to be picking some interesting things for me to watch that I've never seen before. So check that out. We will be watching Vincent Price's The Haunted Palace for this week's episode on Wednesday. So look for Morgan Hasn't Seen, or rather this month, Janine Hasn't Seen on Wednesdays with me and Morgan Robinson. And then on Friday, we have It's a Wonderful Podcast, our namesake show, where we give love to those classic films. This week, Morgan will be doing the episode with Nolan Dean. He's the third co-host on that show. So me and Nolan always switch off co-hosting duties every other week. So this week it'll be Nolan and Morgan hosting that show, and I will be on next week with Morgan. So check out the three shows here on the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed. We have Machine Mondays, of course, every Monday with me, Janine the Machine. We have Morgan Hasn't Seen every Wednesday, and It's a Wonderful Podcast every Friday. You can find the podcast feed all the places where podcasts are found: Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, all Morgan's better at this than me, Spotify, Anchor, all those places. So check it out there. You can leave voice messages for any of the shows. We would love to hear from you guys. There's always a link to leave a voice message. And we play them right here on any of the shows. So check that out as well. You can find me at Janine DeBean on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to check out any of my artwork or get merch for any of our shows, you can find all of that at my TeePublic shop at teepublic.com, at G9 Design. So I think that's it, guys. We're gonna be getting back into more tournament stuff soon, so look out for that. Super excited. Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you so much. And yeah, until next time, stay safe. XO. XO. Machine out.